Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
This is Healthy Children, brought to you by the American Academy of Pediatrics on RadioMD.com. Here's Melanie Cole, MS.
Shaken baby syndrome, or abusive head trauma, first described as a syndrome around 1974, it can be lethal, and approximately one shaken baby in four dies from these injuries. My guest is Dr. Cindy Christian. She's the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia endowed chair in the prevention of child abuse and neglect. So, Dr. Christian, first of all, shaken baby syndrome, you know, we used to hear about it. Are we still hearing about it today?
Unfortunately, we still see it in hospitals throughout the country. It's still a problem, especially for the very youngest babies, the ones who are colicky and cry and frustrate caregivers. So I wish that I could say that it's gone away, but it unfortunately has not.
So what exactly is shaken baby syndrome?
So, you know, shaken baby syndrome is a term that, as you said, was coined probably in the 1970s to describe the constellation of injuries that infants and sometimes slightly older children have to their brains, to their eyes, and to their heads from child abuse. And, you know, although I think you can all conjure up images of shaking a baby, taking a baby by the chest or taking the baby around the arms and being incredibly frustrated or angry with a baby who you can't control and just shaking that baby pretty violently. There are some children who, in addition to being shaken, they have kind of blunt impact to the head. So somebody may strike their head, somebody may slap their head, somebody may strike their head against something. And it's all very violent and terrible, but these babies come in to children's hospitals, to local community hospitals, with some sometimes devastating injury and sometimes non-specific kinds of injuries that are hard to detect by pediatricians, but can lead to later and further problems.
So what would parents and or caregivers suspect, what symptoms might they see if a baby had some sort of an abusive head trauma or from shaken baby? Is there something that if, you know, the mother walks in and the baby's sitting there in a chair, something she might spot if something had been going on?
Well, you know, the answer to that is there are some clues that we sometimes miss, okay? And it's not that uncommon in my experience. You know, after a baby has been diagnosed with abusive head trauma, shaken baby, other kinds of abuse, that when you go back and you talk to families about, you know, have you ever seen any injury on the baby, that people have seen some bruising on young babies. And, you know, what we like to say in pediatrics is if a baby don't cruise, meaning if a baby is not ambulatory yet, if they don't really move around on their own, if the baby don't cruise, the baby don't bruise. And so when we see, as pediatricians, young infants who have bruising, and it could be minor bruising, it could be bruising on the arm, it could be bruising on the chest, it could be a unexplained bruise on the face or the head, it's always appropriate to make sure the baby doesn't have an underlying bleeding problem, but sometimes that's an indication that somebody's getting frustrated, losing control, and harming a baby. And if we can identify those, and if parents can pick that up and say, you know, ooh, what's going on here with my little baby, that can prevent further injury down the line. There are some other non-specific signs and symptoms. The problem is they're not specific. So some babies go to their doctors with excessive vomiting, but lots of babies spit up and lots of babies vomit, and there's lots of reasons why. So, like, that's a sign that's kind of hard to detect that it's from head trauma. But in older kids, you know, who, let's say, have a concussion, like, it's commonly understood that if they have vomiting, that should be something that you're worried about. So we sometimes see children who are very lethargic, meaning, like, you know, they're just not themselves. They're sleeping a lot more, or they're not feeding very well. Babies who are quite irritable. But those things really just tell you that there's something wrong with the baby. Remember, when babies are really little, and the ones that are at highest risk here are the ones that are really little, there's not that much that they can do to say to us, or tell us that they've been injured. Their signs and their symptoms are just like other little babies who are just not feeling well. So it's very challenging to identify babies.
When my baby had a febrile seizure, Dr. Christian, I remember when we were at the hospital because we went in an ambulance, this little limp little doll, they asked us about all of that. You know,
well,
and so it was just a little bit of a, you know, because she was lethargic and not moving and all of this, and she was just so little. But I mean, I get where you're coming from, that these are sometimes missed signs or symptoms. So what do you want parents to know about spotting these things, spotting maybe possible abusive behavior in their caregivers or in a spouse?
So let's start by saying that I think that all adults, you know, have the potential to become extraordinarily frustrated with crying babies, with irritating toddlers, with school-age kids who don't do what we need them to do, right? It is frustrating being a parent. We adore our children, yet I don't know any parent who is perfect, okay? We all get frustrated, and that's normal, and that's human behavior. But there are, you know, when families are under extraordinary stress, and when families don't have the support systems that they need, children are at higher risk. And one of the things that my colleagues have identified across the country is that during this most recent terrible recession, rates of hospitalization for abusive head trauma went up. Okay? So in frustrating, stressful times for families, that the frustration of children can be heightened because we're already so stressed with life. So one of the messages that I would want all parents to have is that we all need support systems. And when I meet families and I say, who are your supports, and they don't have a support system, I worry tremendously, because it's very challenging to raise a child by yourself. If you are in a household, or if you know couples where there is domestic violence and other forms of family violence, those situations are very high risk for babies and for children as well. And, you know, very, like, well-meaning parents sometimes think, if I can keep my partner under control, my children will be safe. But it becomes more and more difficult to keep partners or keep everybody under control, because we all get frustrated. So you want parents to have support systems. You want parents who are in bad situations to recognize that and get some help for that. And then we want all parents to know that it is normal to be frustrated by a crying baby, but there are some things that we can do to kind of remove ourselves a little and recognize that the last thing we want to do is strike out and harm the baby.
And as far as results of this, if a baby is found shaken, and we only have a minute left, does it affect their long-term education? Does it affect their ability to learn? Do they develop learning disabilities?
They absolutely are at very high risk for all these things. So studies over the years have told us that about a third of the children have terrible outcomes. Some die. Some are really neurologically devastated. Some of them have pretty significant impairments. They may be blind. They may have seizure disorders. They may have significant kind of learning disabilities. But even the ones who seem to be okay, sometimes as they get older and their brains need to function at a higher level, we can start to see emerging some of the learning disabilities and other problems that children may have. Plus, there's emerging evidence that shows that kind of toxic stress and living in a stressful environment for young babies can actually affect their brains and how their brains develop. So these children are at high risk. And let's talk about things that we can do to help prevent this, because that's the most important thing.
And that is the most important thing. And remember to get a support system and get help. This is Melanie Cole for Healthy Children right here on Radio MD. Stay well.